Did you know that it is Asian American Pacific Islanders Heritage Month? Macy's is highlighting some really cool AAPI-owned brands right now, like Carden, Kaja, Amelia George, and Hey Meave. Plus, you can help support college access and student success when you donate online or round up in-store to APIA Scholars. APIA is the nation's leading nonprofit organization devoted to the academic, personal, and professional success of Asian American, Native, Hawaiian, and Pacific Islander students. Shop Asian American and Pacific Islander-owned brands at Macy's.com or in-store.
The best part of spring cleaning is the post-clean clarity you get. It's kind of like when you find out that you've been paying a fortune for wireless, and then Mint Mobile has phone plans for $15 a month when you purchase a three-month plan. It's time to switch to Mint Mobile. All plans come with high-speed data, unlimited talk and text, delivered on the nation's largest 5G network. Use your own phone and any Mint Mobile plan and bring your own phone number along with your existing contacts. Ditch overpriced wireless with Mint Mobile's limited time deal and get 3 months of premium wireless service for $15 a month. My team here, they're on Mint Mobile and they like it.
For a fraction of the cost, Mint Mobile proved to have excellent coverage with no drop calls or unsent texts. Plus, they make it super easy for me to activate my device just by following a few simple steps online. And bam, done.
To get this new customer offer and the new three-month unlimited wireless plan for just $15 a month, go to mintmobile.com/literally. That's mintmobile.com/literally. Cut your wireless bill to $15 a month at mintmobile.com/literally. $45 upfront payment required, equivalent to $15 a month. New customers on first three-month plan only. Speeds slower above 40 gigabytes on unlimited plan. Additional taxes, fees, and restrictions apply. See Mint Mobile for details.
Look at the outfit. My attorney's arrived.
I thought it was just you. Jesus.
It's John. You look so handsome.
Thank you. Jealous?
Put your headphones on. Be a professional, John.
Well, your headphones aren't on.
Well, I don't want to mess up my hair.
Me neither.
Hello, and welcome to Literally with me. So today, John Lovitz, who is certifiably insane. And I don't say it lightly. And I would say it to his face. I didn't, as you'll hear. I never actually said that to his face. But let's face it. Show business is filled with people who are not normal. Is that? I think everybody would agree with that. And among people who are not normal, John Lovitz is certifiably insane. And he's one of the funniest men. Naturally, truly, just who he is, really, really funny. I've known him forever and ever and ever. And I'm really happy to share this interview with you, which incidentally was probably the very first interview we did when we started the podcast back in March. And we've been saving it. And we've figured now it's time to finally unleash the Lovitz insanity. But pay close attention to the fact that this was done when we could actually have actual human beings in the room. So there will be people laughing. And it's not our attempt at a soundtrack, a bad soundtrack, like a sporting event. Although I'm thinking about doing that. Just like every bad piece of TV you watch now, there's just like the clearly artificial fake crowd underneath it to make us think everything's normal. This could be a test for that. Anyway, this is the very first one we ever recorded. So hopefully I've learned to be better since this thing you're about to listen to. Here it is. How long have we known each other, would you say?
Well, I think I first met you when you hosted SNL back in...
90.
Was it... Yeah, what is that the year?
It was 90.
Yeah.
My first memory of you was when you do Saturday Night Live, you... It's a very big day when you decide what's going to be on the air or not. And the host gets to have a say in it and all of the.
Yeah, after dress rehearsal goes from like 8 to 10. And then you go in the room and.
And it goes a long time. And people decide, and everybody's gone home. And I walk out. There's only one person at the door waiting, and it's John Lovitz. And you were like, "What's happening?"
Well, they brought me in last.
No, they wanted you to. You were trying to figure out if your sketches got on.
No, that's not.
You were.
No, the dress rehearsal goes from 8 to 10, and then you go into Lauren's office with the host and everybody and the head writer, and they're picking stuff, and then one by one they go, "Will this sketch work?" Lauren says, and then we'll bring in so and so, and then finally at 10:30 they bring everybody in.
Oh, so you were.
Sometimes they have to change. Well, they'll do 14 sketches and they'll cut 6. It's like an hour of show, so they want to know if you have time to make the change. From say, if they change the order of the sketches, because between sketches, you'll have like 2 minutes to change.
Do you have to go in there and defend your sketches? You wrote, didn't
no,
you?
No,
the first season?
Yeah, I wrote a lot, yeah. Or usually with somebody or by myself, but usually with someone. But yeah, I wrote my stuff and half of it. But I have to say, when I was there, almost all my stuff always got in.
What made you, was it the liar? Was that the one that broke through for you first? Because everybody has that moment where the character goes crazy and everybody falls in love with it.
The liar, it was just an inside joke between a friend of mine and I, a girl that I liked forever. And she'd say, "I like a guy with a fat wallet." And I go, "Oh, well, my dad just had 15 oil wells come in." And I go, "Well, I am a pathological liar." It just started like that. And then I did it in the Groundlings where we'd have to create a character and then the audience would ask you questions. So I'd said, "Hello, my name is Tommy Flanagan. I'm a member of Pathological Liars Anonymous. In fact, I'm the president of that organization." And then Robin Schiff, who wrote Romy and Michelle's Big Adventure and big writer, she was in the group. She goes, "John, you set it up perfect. You could say anything." She goes, "Let's try it. What's your favorite sport?" And I went, bowling. And it just seemed funny because you knew he was lying. And I realized, I go, "Oh my God, I didn't even see it." The first monologue I wrote was a guide to Alcoholics Anonymous meeting, but instead it's Pathological Liars Anonymous. And of course, AA is not funny, but I'd hear, "Oh, my name's Bob and here's my story." So I thought it would be funny if a guy got up and said a story and then just started lying about it. And so
it's very funny.
Yeah. So I did it. And then Whitney, I always give him 50-50 credit after that because he really helped me expand it.
Wait, I know what I want to ask you about. Tell me about the master thespian. Was he based? Was he based on anybody?
A few people. I went to college at UC Irvine, and I had a great teacher, William Needles, who was a founding member of the Stratford Festival, Shakespearean Festival in Canada.
Yeah.
So he would have been like, in England, he'd be Sir William Needles. He was. But anyway, the point is, he taught us Shakespeare, Rob. So I'd never heard any. So he gets up. He goes, he spoke like this. He goes, "All right, well, I'm going to teach you Shakespeare. So this is the opening chorus from Henry V. Oh, for a muse of fire that would ascend the brightest heaven of invention." And I'm like, "What the fuck's that?" I'd never heard anything like it. It was crazy. So I kind of based it on him, and I like old movies, John Barrymore, and John Carradine, or that big booming voice.
They all acted like that.
"Get out!" And so I made it all that. And Laurence Olivier I loved. So I made up a character. So all my characters are arrogant idiots, but likable. So there's this actor who thinks he's the greatest actor ever, and he's horrible, but he has no clue that he's horrible. And he's always the same, just horrible, but he loves acting, And then when people comment on how bad he is, he gets his feelings hurt.
I can't believe
very
it.
Very easily, and they go, "I'm sorry." He goes, "Don't be acting," And I did that in the Groundlings, and yeah, that was a fun character.
I'm a massive SNL fan, as you can tell. And
I used to be on the show.
That's what they tell me. And there's always it's kind of like being a sports fan where you argue about who is the best team of all time, and people obviously argue about who is the best not ready for primetime players cast of all time. I think your cast is good. It's not blasphemous. Is even better than the original. Not ready for prime time.
Well,
I really do.
Who am I argue?
You're no one to argue.
Right.
You say thank
well,
you.
Well, people ask me that, and I always say, I think.
Wait, let's go through who. So you're, it's Dana Carvey.
Well, Mike. My first year, you see, it wasn't those people. By the way, I always think the original cast was the best because we're following in their footsteps. But my first year, it was Dennis Miller and Robert Downey Jr. and Anthony Michael Hall.
Oh, you were in that group.
And Terry Sweeney and Randy Quaid and Nora Dunn and Denitra Vance and Joan Cusack and myself. And then the next year, they kept Nora and Dennis and I. And then they brought on Dana Carvey, and he brought on Kevin Nealon, and I helped Phil get on. Well, I didn't, not just me, but they go, who do you work with? I go, Phil. But other Lorraine Newman and Charles Grodin, they recommended Phil too, as and they had recommended me, which, you know, helped tremendously.
So it's so.
And then, it was Dana, there was eight of us for 4 years before Mike got there. It was Dana, Phil Hartman, Kevin Nealon, Dennis Miller, and myself. So there was five men, and then the three women were Nora,
Jan Hooks,
mm-hmm, and Victoria Jackson.
I like Jan Hooks. She's cute.
Oh, did you? I don't remember that.
No, I'm telling you, John. Long time ago. Wasn't married then.
I don't remember.
Funny, smart women. My downfall. I think that group, the 90 group, was the group for sure. And Phil, it was your best buddy.
Phil was the king of the groundlings, and I got to understudy I just died. A play he was in, because of that, I got in the groundlings. So he was like my big brother who I adored and wanted to be like him, and I idolized him. And we became very close friends, like brothers. Jan.
Stop talking about Jan.
No, okay. I love Jan. Rob Blow.
Jonathan Lovitz. This is why I wanted you on the show, because
one has my personality.
Look at my questions. I got a list of them.
Wait, I have a better question. All right, go ahead. People want to know more about this.
All right, what?
It seems to me, why don't you have some kind of facial cream that doesn't make people age? You know, you and Cindy Crawford, you don't age. And I know you told me once, well, my dad, you should see my dad in some jeans. But what is it? You have all your hair. You have no wrinkles. Well,
I do. I actually do have my own line of men's skincare because people ask me that. Yes,
you do. What's it called?
It's called Profile for Men.
Oh,
and there's a line called Cobalt, which is another iteration of it. You can go look it up. But I don't.
Well,
want
plus, you stayed thin. That helps. I expanded quite.
Have you been on diets ever?
Ever? Shut up.
Ever? Has that ever occurred to you?
Yeah, you dick.
Okay.
I was on a pie.
A pie diet.
It's delicious,
on a pie,
but it doesn't work.
Do you know that I took Chris Farley to dinner once, and he ate two bone-in porterhouse steaks, two, and on top of every bite, he put an entire cube of butter.
Okay, bone-in. I thought we were going to stop talking about Jan Hooks.
Oh, my God. No interest in the Farley story?
You brought it up. Nothing? No, I was very good friends with Chris. I don't know what it takes for people to believe that you can't do those drugs. They're going to kill you. I don't know how many people have to die. It's like you go, I want to scream at them, like, don't be an idiot. Like, you go, no, it won't affect me. You go, yes, it'll affect everybody. Are you nuts?
The thing about Chris.
It's very sad about Chris. Believe me, I tried to help him from the day I met him.
Yeah, me too. Yeah.
The day I met him, I called Jim Belushi's agent and said, could you have Jim call this guy? He idolizes John Belushi. Mm-hmm. And after Chris died, I said to Jim, did you ever call Chris? He said, yes. I said, what, did you get my message? He goes, yes. I go, what did you say to him? And Jim said, I said, my brother's dead. You get it? So if you're listening, don't even try this stuff. Just don't. I said, don't bone in.
I mean, it's kind of a mic drop.
All right, Rob. I don't mean to interrupt. I'll let you ask your question.
Where were you? No, the show's better when you run it. Allie McGraw.
Well, you were young and 21, and you know older women like younger.
She was rattling around Broad Beach when I was growing up in Malibu. Didn't you have a house in Malibu?
Yeah, I rented it with Mark Gerwitz.
Well, I heard you didn't live with Brad Pitt, did you?
No, that's a story. No, that's another story.
Oh, we wouldn't want to hear that. Forget that. No, we're not interested in that. Who wants to hear about you?
Well,
and Brad
Pitt? Manager rented the house next door, and she had all her dogs. So her dog, Cynthia Pett, his manager, who you saw in the he brought to the Oscars. She was looking her dog was looking through the window of my house at the cats. I go, what is your dog doing? He's going to kill a cat. No, no, he loves cats. The next day, Brad Pitt was staying at the house next door. The next day, Brad's walking down the beach. Anyway, he's walking all these dogs. Next thing I know, Mark Ertz, we're friends. We ran into the house together. He starts going, your cat's dead. I go, what? What are you talking about? Turns out this is a funny story.
It was funny with
Brad
the cat's death. That was
Pitt
really.
Was walking nine dogs, and Cynthia's dog, who was staring at my cats, broke away the next morning, ran into the house, into my bedroom, and murdered my cat, broke his neck, the best cat ever, like unbelievable. And I got this cat after my dad had died, and it helped me like feel better. And he attacked Mark's cat. And so then Brad, my cat's dead. And then Cynthia's like, I'll get you another cat. I go, what do you get me another cat? I told you yesterday your dog is going to kill my cats. That night, Cynthia also manages Courtney Cox, who I've been friends with since this movie, Mr. Destiny, 1988. We're really close friends with her. I go to their house that night, and there's Cynthia, and she's crying, and these five women. And they go, what is going on? Oh, we feel so bad for Cynthia. I go, you feel bad for Cynthia? My cat was killed, murdered, most foul, in my bedroom, right? And Courtney goes, well, it's food chain. I go,
what?
Excuse me? Food chain? Yeah, cats kill dogs. I go, my cat was in my bedroom minding its own business. The dog came in and murdered my cat. 5 years later, someone says to me, Courtney Cox's grandmother died. And I said, oh, tell her food chain. Three years later, I see her at a Dodger game. And I go, oh, Courtney, because a celebrity game and her husband, David Arquette's playing baseball. And I see her like, oh, she goes, you're still mad about it? I go, yeah, food chain. I go, I heard your grandmother died, food chain. I go, just say you're sorry, Courtney. She goes, okay, I'm sorry. I go, okay, fine.
Unbelievable.
If someone slams me, you
hold a grudge.
I go back times 10. That's called being Jewish.
Hold that thought. We'll be right back.
If you're thinking about doing some home remodeling, check out Window World. Go to windowworld.com and check out their Windows Inspiration Guide. The guide is a dream book of page after page of beautiful windows. It's not just about how good they look. These beauties earned the Good Housekeeping Seal and Energy Star certification. Go to windowworld.com to schedule your free consultation. Tell them you heard about it here on Literally with me, Rob Lowe. Window World, America's exterior remodeler.
Where else can you go surfing and skiing in the same day? Or check out a world-class art museum and camp out under a brilliant night sky, same day. Or hike through the redwoods and get a luxury spa treatment. There's only one answer, California. No matter where you go across this state, you will find a way to play. I love California. And I have not yet surfed and skied in the same day, although I do both. So that is on my bucket list. It's the most beautiful place in the world. Discover why California is the ultimate playground. Head to visitcalifornia.com to start planning your trip today. Hey, listeners. Ever have trouble getting someone on the phone when you have a question about your credit card? With 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day, or night. Yes, you heard that right. You can talk to a human on the Discover customer service team anytime. So the next time you have a question about your credit card, call 1-800-DISCOVER to get the service you deserve. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/credit card.
Now we're back with Rob Lowe.
I just want to circle back to the cat who died for a minute here. Do you have a thing where you name your animals after people?
After my friends. Yeah, my cat was Mr. Mark Stevenson, named after Mark Gervitz. Now, I have a dog now, Jerry Bruckheimer III. Wait, he was named after my cat, Jerry Bruckheimer.
You named your cat Jerry Bruckheimer? Jerry Bruckheimer is one of the biggest producers. You guys have seen his names in credits.
I had two cats, Jerry and Linda Bruckheimer.
Jerry and Linda, the wife.
You've got to do it because what happens is—
I've got to do it?
Oh, look, Linda Bruckheimer's taking a big crap in the kitty litter box. And they get really mad, but it's hysterical.
That's why?
Like, I have a dog, Rob Lowe. Oh, dude, I got to go. Rob Lowe's taking a big crap in the park. Rob Lowe has diarrhea. Yeah. Try it.
Because I do people names for my dogs, but they're just like Eddie and, you know,
yeah,
Bella.
I like to name them after my friends.
Do your friends ever get mad?
Mm-hmm.
What does Jerry Bruckheimer think about it?
No, he's very touched by it.
How touched is he? Is he ever giving you a job in any of his big hits? Is he that touched by it?
Well, he'll say he did, but he says I passed. Dana and I were supposed to do Bad Boys originally.
Whoa.
I didn't pass.
Hold the phone.
Well, you didn't know that?
You and Dana Carvey as the original Bad Boys?
Yeah.
How bad could you have been?
Well,
It was a
long story. But I said I would do it, and then went over to Columbia, and Barry Josephson was the president of Columbia. He used to be my manager who I'd fired. So then he said, let's switch it up. And so it worked out.
He said, let's switch it up to something that could be a hit.
You bastard.
I didn't think I'd be this mean to one of my earliest guests.
That's okay. You're a huge movie star, and now you're doing a podcast interviewing me. Catch a falling star. Catch two falling stars.
John, you may have told my single favorite.
Oh, wait
joke
a minute. You
ever.
Just got a new show, too, right?
I do. I'm on 911 Lone Star.
You're welcome. I was up for that part, and I said, let Rob do it. I have to go to the bathroom.
Thank you, John.
You're welcome.
Do you remember hosting? It was a big, very important charity event honoring Arnold Schwarzenegger. Do you remember this? Do you have any memory of this?
Yeah, Tom Arnold put together a roast. It was to help him raise funds.
Yes. Do you remember your opening line?
And I was a Democrat, but I said, yeah, Arnold's my friend. I'll do it. I don't care.
Do you remember what you said?
Yeah.
Do you remember your single killer
line? My opening line?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, I said, I like Arnold, but I was at the U.S. Open playing tennis. And at the end of it, I'm waiting for a car from friends of mine, there's like 50 people waiting for these town cars, and all of a sudden a limo drives up, and the window rolls down, and it's Arnold, and he goes, John, forget to do your abs today. And then he rolls the window up and drives away, and everyone's laughing at me. And then tonight I said, I wear my nice, really nice, you know, cashmere suit, and I take a picture with Arnold tonight, and he goes, nice suit, is it made from drapes? I said, Arnold, it's my turn. I go, now it's my turn to say something. I have one thing to say to you. And I go, well, I think tonight's the first time a Jew's roasted a Nazi. No. And by Nazi, I mean when he was a movie star, I did not see him becoming a governor.
I was there for it. I remember it like
yesterday.
And then
I said something about it. I go, but Arnold, he's got the soul of a hero and the heart of a pig. Because he had that pig valve. It was a roast. We're supposed to roast
My
him.
Favorite is the explanation. He has the heart of a pig valve.
It's the pig valve, Rob.
Do you have any Chris Farley stories?
Sure. So one time...
Keith Spade used to.
Well,
used to
I'm trying to think of the one I can tell.
I know that's the thing.
So
about
one
Farley.
Time,
can't really tell that many stories.
They're having these in '93. I was shooting a movie called City Slickers 2 with Jack Palance and Billy Crystal, Culver City, and we look on the news and Malibu's on fire. The whole thing.
Yep.
I'm watching the news. I see my house on the beach, right from a helicopter from above. Anyway. I'm talking to, I think David Spade. He goes, yeah, I Chris is at the beach. I said, Chris, where are you? He goes, I'm at the, you know, Lovers and Gervers' beach house. He goes, I go, how's it? He goes, it's nice, but it's really cloudy. And Spade goes, you idiot. Get out of there. Those aren't clouds. It's from the fire. It's smoke. So I go, so he's there now? Yeah. So I called up the beach house, and I was stuck in Culver City. Doing the, I said, Chris, and he answered the phone. You're at the beach house? Yeah. I go, can you do me a favor? What? Can you, like, get some stuff for me? Because I thought my house was going to burn down, because across the street, it was right near Carbon Beach, the fire station was on fire.
That's
the fire
good.
Station.
That's not good.
So I said, can you get my books? And he goes, no, I'm only getting like three things. I go, come on, you jerk, get it. He goes, no, no, no. Anyway, he was out in the ocean. He thought it was cloudy. It was all the smoke from the fire.
That's...
And I'm five doors down, a house burned down. I mean, it was all around.
This beach house sounds like it was kind of a nightmare for you.
No, it was a lot of fun.
Animals were murdered.
Well, just that one time. Brad never said he was sorry.
If you
then
take-
I ran into him. He goes, remember that time? My kid, the dog. I go, yeah, Brad. I want to say you're sorry. I've known Brad before he was famous. His manager said, can you say hi to this client of mine? He's a big fan of yours. What's his name? Brad Pitt. I go, all right. No one had heard of him. Years ago. You understand? So I said, and I go, okay, what's his name again? Brad? Oh, hey, Brad, it's John Lovitz. John, you're so fucking funny.
That's Brad Pitt?
I know. Yeah, and then I ran into him years later. I go, Brad, remember when I was the big star and you were nobody and I was nice to you? Always, John. I go, okay, don't forget.
Do more.
He's a very nice guy. He's from the Midwest.
He's a very nice guy. Can you do more Brad Pitt impersonations, though? Because that was amazing.
Let's see.
You made him sound like a lamb chop.
Hey, John Lovitz. So fucking funny.
When you do impersonations.
And I said, I know.
Do you have
an acting class?
Do you do a thing like Dana Carvey used to talk about how he would come up with his impersonations. He has a whole theory about it.
It's
great.
That's a bunch of crap. Dana makes that up. He just does it.
How do you make stuff up?
He analyzes it like that, but that's not how he really does it.
How does he really do it? I guess I should ask him.
Like anyone, he listens to the guy, and you're listening for things they repeat, and you're listening for the rhythm of their – it's musical. It's like music. You're listening to the rhythm of how they talk. So when they imitate me, this is him, Dana, imitating me. Oh, fine. Then they exaggerate it. I know.
John, that sounded just
don't
like you.
Do it. No, this is Dana doing me. Oh, fine. I don't talk like that, Rob. I talk like this.
It's the most meta moment ever. It's John imitating Dana doing himself.
I do layered impressions. I did.
What does layered impressions
mean?
Well,
it's people imitating somebody imitating. Like, it's not, instead of just going, I'll do an imitation of Rob. I go, I'll do the imitation of Rob Lowe, you, imitating Dana Carvey.
I love that.
Imitating me, right?
Give me your best layered impression.
Hello, I'm John Lovitz. You're good. Now, here's Dana imitating you imitating me. Hello, I'm John Lovitz. It's too much.
It's too much.
You're actually better.
Thank you.
At that impersonation of me than Dana. But it's another layer. It's layers.
Who's your...
Right, here's my imitation of my dog imitating you, right? Imitating my housekeeper.
Yes.
He can't do it. I was lying.
I thought the face you were giving me just now was the imitation.
That was my dog just looking like, I have no idea just what you're doing.
Blinking.
Talking about.
But the dog's alive. Jerry Bruckheimer II.
I'll show you a picture of him. My dog is he's not like a, I don't even like calling him a dog.
Yeah, no kidding. You named him after one of the biggest producers
well,
in Hollywood.
Well, he's like a person, you know.
Well, yeah. Does he play hockey like Jerry Bruckheimer?
No, he's a good person.
Oh, he's very cute. I'm a big dog person.
I would have brought him, but I have other things I have to do today. Otherwise, I normally would bring him. He's with me.
That's a very good dog.
He's very cute. He sometimes he says stuff. Like I'll say, where's the dog? And he looks around. And I go, where's the, one time I said, where's the dog? And he went, oh. And I go, and I looked at someone. I said, didn't it just sound like he said, I don't know? And then he went, I don't know. And then he said it. And I fell over. I go, did you hear that? And he goes, yes. Another person heard it. He didn't talk all the time.
I have the same.
Except today. You know what he said today?
What did he say?
Are you really doing Rob's podcast? I said, yes.
I have a dog that, it's true, dogs do talk. I had a dog when I'd come home from work and I'd say, how are you? How are you, little Davey? You go, I'm tired.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable.
Or my dog said, I can't bring you Jerry. I'm doing Rob Lowe's podcast. He goes, ask him did he sleep with Bonnie Ringwald.
And we'll be right back after this. So I came home to a little gift in my bathroom the other day from our friends at Harry's. To get what you want, you have to challenge the status quo and blaze your own trail. You know who challenged the status quo? Harry's. They saw customers getting ripped off by questionable products in the shaving industry and decided they had something better to offer. So instead of charging the same old ridiculous prices, Harry's found a way to make their beautifully designed razors, and they are beautiful, for a fraction of the price of the other big brands. Exceptional products, honest prices. That's Harry's. They have the highest customer satisfaction in shaving history and a no-risk trial. Don't like your shave? No worries. It's on them. Convenient subscription options that you can cancel at any time. And Harry's also has other self-care products that meet the same quality standards as their razors. Richly lathering, skin-softening body wash in scents like Redwood, Wildland, and Stone. And an extra high-quality, amazing-smelling deodorant for just $5. I love their stuff. I'm so impressed by Harry's products. All of it. It's all good. Don't settle for the status quo. Blaze your own trail with Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/rob. That's harrys.com/rob for a $3 trial set.
Shopping for humans is hard. Shopping for your dog is easy. Thanks to Bark. Every month, we deliver toys and treats just for your pup. They deserve to be spoiled every month. At Bark, we send your dog a whole collection of toys and treats made just for them every single month. Whether it's our fun plush toys or our ultra tough toys from Super Chewer, we give your dog exactly what they want. And for a limited time, we will double your first box for free. To get your free upgrade, go to BarkBox.com/Rob. BarkBox is so convenient and delivers straight to your door and, more importantly, right to your dog. I can't wait to try out BarkBox. My dogs need their toys, particularly the chewable toys. Sign up now at BarkBox.com/Rob for an exclusive offer. This ad is now over. Let's get back to petting our dogs.
Stay connected this winter with this unbeatable deal from Breezeline. Get reliable, fiber-powered internet for just $19.99 per month with all-in pricing for 2 years. But that's not all. Your first month is on us. This deal gets better with a free modem and installation, along with free Wi-Fi your way whole home coverage. Safeguard your network from cyber threats and keep all your devices connected and secured with this amazing offer. Act now. Terms and conditions apply. Offer expires March 3rd, 2024. Learn more at Breezeline.com.
Okay, let me ask you this. Who was the one that you really wanted and then you go, the one that got away? Way before you ever met your wife, years ago, when you were like 20, you know, you went, oh, why did I not lay down in the bed of roses and make sweet honeysuckle love? Who would that be?
Honeysuckle love?
I don't know. You're not saying anything, so I have to fill the dead air time.
That would be Madonna in the day.
Oh, so you could have, but you didn't.
Well, circumstances prevented. It's in my book, John. It's in my book. Read my book.
Circumstances prevented it. You mean you couldn't get a boner?
Okay. No, that would be one of them. All right. We're gonna end this up with a couple quick rapid fire questions for you.
Okay.
Has there ever been a cartoon character you wanted to have sex with?
Oh, yes. Jessica Rabbit.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Betty Rubble.
Mm-hmm.
Hot.
Yeah, hot. Really hot. Mm. You know who I liked? I liked the sophisticated...
Blondie.
Purple-eyed cat in the Aristocats.
Ew.
I was really little, but still.
No, what's the one... Well, they made
cross
it not
species.
Daisy Duke.
Did you say cross species?
Yeah. What's the one? I think it was. What's the not the Dukes of Hazzard, but they did a thing where Little Abner and the blonde with the little crop top and the real short
Daisy Dukes.
Shorts. Was that Little Abner?
I'm Little Abner.
Anyway, her.
Which would you rather see, John? A UFO, a ghost, or Bigfoot?
I think a ghost. I think Bigfoot would eat me because of all the pie. He'd probably smell it. And I did see a UFO once.
No, see, I knew there was a reason this question would work. Well, tell me about this.
This is what I saw.
I'm obsessed with this.
I used to go to camp in, from 14 to 17, up in Northern California near Mount Shasta.
Mount Shasta is an epicenter for this stuff. I mean, I'm told.
It is? Oh.
I don't really know.
Well, anyway, so up there, the air was, you know, extremely, it was you're away from the city, so there's no light. So there's millions of stars. So I look up, you see shooting stars. Anyway, I was 16. I was looking up at the sky one night, just looking at the stars. And it looked like two stars, two lights chasing each other all across the sky and really fast and like going like in a figure eight and all over. And so in my mind, I go, well, is this something on my retina? Is this fireflies? No, I'm seeing this. And I watched it. And then all of a sudden, the two of them went, one following the other, went to my left below the horizon, right? But crazy fast. So fast that I thought, okay, if they're going that fast and I'm really seeing this, they're going to pop up on the other side of the horizon, the opposite side, right? So I turned to the other side and I waited, and sure enough, like 7 seconds later, they both came up.
So it circled the Earth.
Yeah, it circled, and I saw it, you know. But it just looked like two stars chasing each other.
Did you think you were crazy? Well, we know you're crazy, but did you think you were crazy then?
No. But I knew nobody would believe me, but that's what I saw.
It's amazing.
I mean, you know.
Mount Shasta, man.
What's your explanation, Rob Blue?
I have none. I want to see a UFO badly. John Lovitz, you, sir, are a genius. This is one of our first podcasts we've done, and you've—
I was told it was the first. Is not the first?
It is. We may not air it as the first. It is the first one I've done. This is the first one I've done.
How can you not air it at the first? Ratings. We need a bigger name. Well, blah, blah, blah.
We're waiting.
Well, no one's going to listen to the first one if it sucks. You got to make the first one the best, funniest one.
And on that note, we say goodbye to the wonderful, the incomparable, the amazing Johnny Q Lovitz.
Thank you, Rob. Thanks for having me on your podcast.
Thank you, sir. John Lovitz. I mean, come on. Now you know what we've all been dealing with in show business with John Lovitz. I mean, there's no one like that guy. And what I'm left with always when I spend time with John is he is a true original. There is nobody who thinks like that. There's nobody who talks like that. He has been 100% true to himself and his worldview of what he thinks is funny and how to be funny. And that authenticity is what makes a star and what makes someone have a long-lasting, impactful career. You could see a version of it where people are like, wait, what? And it just goes to show you, you know, you don't have to fit in any box. You really don't. If you've got something to offer, and even if it's weird, there's a place for you. And Johnny is one of my favorite people because of that. Well, this has literally been my pleasure. And hopefully, I'll see you next week.
You have been listening to Literally with Rob Lowe. Produced by Devin Torrey Bryant and Delina Turman. Engineered by me, Devin Torrey Bryant. Executive produced by Rob Lowe for Low Profile. Adam Sachs and Jeff Ross at Team Coco. And Colin Anderson and Chris Bannon at Stitcher. The supervising producer is Aaron Blair. Talent producer, Jennifer Samples. Please rate and review this show on Apple Podcasts. And remember to subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, This has been a Team Coco production in association with Stitcher.
Ashley's Memorial Day mattress sale is going on now. Save big on select adjustable mattress sets, up to $1,200 on Beautyrest Black, up to $800 on Purple, and up to $500 on Tempur-Pedic. Plus, get 72-month special financing with select in-store mattress purchases made with your Ashley Advantage Synchrony credit card between May 14th and June 3rd. Visit your local Ashley store or ashley.com for better sleep and savings. Only at Ashley. Subject to credit approval. Minimum monthly payments required. No minimum purchase required. See store for details.